God gave her a decision, she was not married. And number two, David HaMelech sending Uriah Achiti to the front lines, which would get him killed, even though that's a Gram Ritzicha, and a Gram Ritzicha is an issue there, right? So even though David wasn't Ritzicha, he died, that's called the Gram Ritzicha. But the Gemara says, Uriah Achiti was a Mary's Mamalchus, David was in order, he refused, right? So everything technically is fine.
How do you possibly say that? How can you say that a king would be a crown rechitza if somebody has to go to the front?
No, I understand. In other words, if it's made as a legitimate military decision, then it's a crown rechitza that is mutter b'shas mochamim, meaning it's a permissible, it's justifiable. But if you do it, in other words, if you simply deliberately arrange for somebody to go to the front because you want them to get killed, that would not be a legitimate military decision. And David sent him deliberately because David wanted him to get killed.
I understand, but
he didn't do it necessary. He wasn't the only one.
He wasn't the only one. So you do a lottery or you do whatever, you have some rule. Whatever your rules are, if they're neutral rules, then Avada, there's no grammar. You know, so I'm saying that as a general
rule. So you're saying it was the rule that, like, captains or colonels or whatever rank he had, general,
what's the rule in any army? I don't know who goes to combat, but it wouldn't just be, it shouldn't just be that the general doesn't like you, so he puts you down. I'm sure that may happen. I'm sure that happens. Now, here's the thing, though. I would paraphrase the Gemara. It's a shame that people say, the Gemara says, Chazal said, anyone that says David is chayta is a taya. Anyone that says David was not chayta is also a taya, because you can't walk away and say, David HaMelech did nothing wrong. The Navi told him, he did a tremendous avera. In fact, David HaMelech said, chatasi, David HaMelech loved the Lord, chatasi. So Elamai, what's the pshat? The pshat is like this. Even when you do something that's totally justified, if you're not doing it for the reason that was justified, then you're a roseach. In other words, David HaMelech had a right to have Uriah killed because Uriah was Morid B'Malchus. But David HaMelech did not send him to his death because he was Morid B'Malchus. David HaMelech sent him to his death because he wanted an excuse to marry Bathsheba. Memela, the Ritzicha that would have been mutter for a certain reason, now becomes a spiritual Ritzicha because you're doing it for another reason. Same thing with, to give an earlier example, a similar dimion occurs with Yaakov, right? Chazal say, Rashi brings, that because Yaakov didn't want Dina to meet Esav, so he locked her in a box, or he really, it's just an expression, he really confined her to the house, so she shouldn't see Esav, so Memela, that's why she is raped by Shechem. So people ask the Kasha, what does it mean? There's some taina in Yaakov, that Yaakov didn't want his daughter to be married to Esav? What's going on, all right? So some say he should have had me talking that Dina was such a tzaddikas, she could be Mahabech even Esav. But for most of us, I don't want my, nobody wants their daughter to marry a Russian. So the Altar of Slobodka used to say it this way. He used to say, of course Yaakov had the right to put Dina in a box, whatever that means. But he didn't have to bang on the door so hard. What's the pshat? Meaning to say that part of Yaakov's kavana was he didn't want Esav. In other words, he didn't want Esav to have a good thing. There was a little bit of stuffing into Esav that he shouldn't get a good thing. Which means even a totally justifiable maisa gets tainted if your kavana is not correlated to the justification. So that's mamish what Abishol is saying. Abishol is saying, yeah, the Torah matters the Yisr of Eishasach for Yibam, but if you're not Mechavan L'Shem Mitzvah, it's considered to be still a Gedra Pogei Abiyarba. And as I say, not L'Gabi Einshim, but Ruchnius is considered to be a Chayt. And Ad Kidei Kach, that the Chachamim, at least Abishol, and the Mishnah in Mechayris, which the Rif Paskin's like, again, some Rambam doesn't Paskin like it, that mitzvah simam was essentially batal, or mavatal mitzvah simam, because people are not mechavet, and therefore your pogeya b'yerba. So then we come to the next level. Let's go back a little bit. We come to this machlokes amar rav ein kaifin. So here we had a big machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What does it mean aim type. So Rashi learns it's going on the seif of his man hazeh. This is going to change the halacha. So according to Rashi, even though we are miyayeh tzakata, that chalitza is better than yiba, if they both want to do yibam after we give them this Miranda warning that chalitza is better, we will allow them to go ahead. So according to Rashi, this is a major, major exception to the rule. Meaning, the Mishnah in Bechayra says, since we're not mechaven l'shem mitzvahs, mitzvahs chalitzas kademus. Amar zakt Rashi, yibam is entirely possible today if they want to do, if they want to do yibam. So actually, if you look, look at the Rashi, has a, it's a long Rashi here that I look at. It's on the Gemara. Oh, yeah, it's also on the Rif. If you have Rashi in the Rif, they bring the Rashi here. Amar Rav ben Kaifet, look at Rashi. E nichal the tervayu liyavim. If they both want to have yibam, even bisman hazeh, ein kofin oso lachlitz. We do not force him to give chalitza. To name a lav la mitzvah kam mechavnim, you pogah b'yerba. We don't say, hey, you're not mechavnim la mitzvah, and you're pogah b'yerba. Ela e boy miyavim. Now, Rashi points out though, so the ein kaifin, meaning to say, we're not kaifin la chalitza, we allow a yibam, zok Rashi, that's only if they both want. So Rashi says, Umiyu, Rashi's adding, Hechad et Savi liyabume, where he wants to do yibam, the ihi umbra lo ba'inale, and she says, I don't want, the umbra devorem nikorim. Now, this is very interesting. Rashi says, and she says what are called devorem nikorim, that means a recognizable basis for her refusal. Masha from Rashi, that if she does, if she just says I don't like the guy, we might force her to go through yibam. But Rashi says if she gives a reason, now the reason might be, I don't know, it depends what that means. Any reason? What if she says she doesn't like his looks? I mean, would that be, you know? I mean, does it have to be a good reason or just a reason? Well, you can always give a reason. I don't know what the word because word nikar means words that are. If you take it literally, that are recognizable to us as being reasonable, being true. That's an interesting point, because this is something Rashi's adding to the Gemara. Rashi says, so Rashi says the following. He wants yibam, and she doesn't. So what do we do? So we do the following. Imatsinu liatuye. If we can trick him into doing chalitza. How do you trick somebody doing chalitza? The Amrinan Lai, chalitz la, al menashe titein lach lecha masayim zuz. Right? We'll tell the guy, hey, if you do chalitza, she will pay you money. And he does the chalitza of tanai. This chalitza. You see, the problem is, Rashi's Marameh is to a Gemara Vayter. Gemara Vayter says, in the 14th parak, towards the end of the Masechta, that although you can do Gittin on a Tanai, and Kedushin on a Tanai, and Mechira on a Tanai, and Matana on a Tanai, you cannot do Chalitza al day Tanai. Meaning, even if a man says Beferish.
Chalitza Yibam, either.
Well, Yibam, you've also done to on a Tanai. Yeah, well, Yibam, we can't anyway. That's B.S. And then I said B.L.S. and B.L.S.
Once, it's first B.S.
Yeah, but even Chalitza cannot be in a Tanai. So even if a man is Master Beferish, you are a Chalutza al Manas that you do something, and she doesn't do it. It's still a valid chalitza.
That's because the ceremony queue, once that occurs, it takes place. In other words, where the zika exists, regardless of anybody, even in the chazak are not doing the king, they're just actuating
the other
resolution
hand,
of the zika.
Well, yeah, on the other hand, I mean, a get could be out of tonight, right? So the same thing, if you could be mafkia kedushin on the tonight, then why can't you be mafkia zika on the tonight, right? If you look at chalitza like a get.
So push is something you go into voluntarily. It's imperialism.
Okay, that could be a chalut. Maybe that's good with the swar. I mean, the Gemara itself says another swar, but maybe what you're saying is a swar behind the swar. You have to understand the following. The idea that you can make a tanai in anything is not a self-evident proposition. You might think, well, for shteisen, I can make a tanai. Not necessarily. In fact, we only learned tonight from B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu was masna, this is your land if you go and you fight with Am Yisrael, and if you don't go and you fight with Am Yisrael, this will not be your land, then you will have to get a chelik with everybody else. Of course, they'll get something either way, but you know, you're going to get there and not, you're not going to get this. And from here we learn out, this is called Mishvatei HaTanoim, the whole Musig of Tanoim. In fact, that's why Rabbi Meir says that there are all sorts of formalities in Tanoim. You have to have a Tanoim couple. You have to say both sides of the Tanoim. If you go, then it'll be yours, and then you have to say it. If you don't go, it's not going to be yours. And it has to be a Tanoim before the Maaseh. You can't say it is yours if you go. You have to say if you go, it is yours. Which is interesting, by the way. That means that most of the way Tanoim are written, it would not be right according to your memory. It says, "Areze gitech al menashe titni." According to Rabbi Meir, you would have to say "al menashe titni areze gitech." In other words, you'd have to reword many of the formulations in the Mishnah. And now Tosis asks the Kasha, "Why do I need a gezeiras hakasa for Tanoim? If I only want to be makna on a certain condition, and if I don't want to be makna without that condition, so then there's no das makna." In other words, what do you need a din of Tanai and a formality of Tanai? So Tosfos answers, no. I would have thought loy asi dibor or loy asi machshava mavato maisa. I might have thought that once you do a maisa kinyan, the Torah says it's an absolute. Your machshava and even your dibor cannot necessarily be mevatel lemaisa. So Tanai is a chiddush that either machshava or at least dibor, it's actually not machshava. When it says machshava, it means dibor because the Tanai has to be spoken out. A dibor can be mevatel lemaisa. That's not a self-evident proposition. So memela like this. So one of the mishpatei atanoim is, you can only make a Tanai on a transaction that you can effect through a shaliach. Since I could sell through a shaliach, I could make a Tanai in a mechira. I can give a get through a shaliach, I can make a Tanai in the get. I can be makadesh through a shaliach, I can make a Tanai in kedusha. But a double, which is less of a shlichas, is less of a Tanai. And since we do have a Gezeiras HaKasuv, that's not a drasha. That chalitza cannot be done al yidei shaliach, it's not shayach for chalitza to be done al yidei Tanai. And what's the svara taka? What logic? What does shlichas have to do with Tanai? The answer is very good, because if, as Tosfos says, intrinsically, you shouldn't have a kayach to limit a maisa. But the Torah says through Tanai you could. It has to be a maisa that you have bailus and shlita over. In other words, shlichas shows I have so much control over this process that I can even delegate it. That's kind of the measure of control you have over the process. And when you have control over the process, you can then make limitations, conditions. Something that you cannot do through a shaliach means you have an absence of control over the maisa. If you have an absence of control over the maisa, you can't make it nice. See, if tonight would have been a svora, then there would be no connection to
shlichus. This is from Tosfos.
Not the shlichus thing. That's the svora there.
No.
Tosfos says that
because of others.
Because of others. Yeah. That's the idea of it.
There's some things that you can't do with a shlich because they're mitzvah shemagufa, things which are not to do with the bailiff, they're just to do with the. Something to do with the mice of the
night.
So that actually raises a very, very interesting issue. It's a big, big discussion. Because you see this a lot in Mr. Brewer and Paiske. can you do a mitzvah on a Tanai? Because we often have this idea that in order to be yetzei a mitzvah on a mufkar, a very good example is Kriya Shema like the Magen Avraham or the Grah. This is a common age. So let's say like this. Let's say that by the time you reach Birchas Kriya Shema, you've already, you're either on the Magen Avraham smile. Now, there are two problems here. Certainly, on a mitzvah d'oraisa, you want to be Mekayim the Magen Avraham. On the other hand, being mekayim the mitzvah with Kriyat Shema bebrachas is better than not with brachas. It's a heater in the mitzvah. That's not part of the Doraisa, but it's a heater. So, ideally, of course, best solution would be say Kriyat Shema with the brachas, like the Magen Avraham. But let's say that's not the situation. So one of the, it's not a fail-safe basis, because it does, but one of the things they tell you is the following, that when you say Kriya Shema early, you should make a Tanai. And the Tanai is, if the halacha is like the Magen Avraham, I am mechavein to be mekayim, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema ben Atayra. But just in case the halacha is not like the Magen Avraham, I am mechavein not to be yetzei, so that when I read Kriya Shema according to the Gemara, I'll be Makayim Kriya Shema Bebrachas. Now, that's not a perfect, because that does mean if the halacha is like the Magen Avraham, you're not Makayim Bebrachas, but you don't have a choice there, and the like. So, but this is one of the ages they say, and that way, first of all, it's not even, I'm not sure if it's a meaningful question to say if the halacha is, I mean, that implies that what the Ribbono Shel Olam was machriya, the halacha, and yet po fakert, al sedin of lo b'shamayim, then fakert. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'davka is not machriya, the Gemara is right, the Magen Avraham is right. Yeah, okay, so it's hard to even know exactly if the halacha is like, but okay. But the question becomes this, repeat the Gemara that says, milsa de lesa b'shlichas, lesa b'tanai. Right, so the question is, I can't read Kriya Shema for a shaliach. So is it shaykh for me to make a tanai? I don't want to be. That would be an interesting question. Also the svara of bailas or shlita, maybe you'll say it's not a bailas issue, it's a different issue. But some say it's not shaykh, it's naim. It's just another case where they say it's coming up Pesach already. The famous Avni Nezer. Yeah, people say the Mishra doesn't hold of the Avni Nezer, he doesn't bring it. I mean, he holds the Avni Nezer, he doesn't bring this psak of the Avni Nezer. That is the problem of Avni Kaiman before Chatzos. So what's the Shaila? The Chatzchila, you're supposed to eat the Avni Kaiman before Chatzos. Even though the Avni you eat it afterwards. Now the reason why you eat it before Chatzos is because we have a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva. Is this man of Korban Pesach Chatzos, a Minatayra? Or is it Amud HaShachar? Rav Elazar ben Azaria says Chatzos, Rav Akiva says Amud HaShachar, and the Gemara says Beferish that the matzah follows the Korban Pesach, and the Avikayim prefer the Zechu of Korban Pesach. So there's a machlekes Rishayim. Do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, or do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? And that is why Lechatchila, you eat it before Chatzos. So here's the problem. The Avi Nezer says, let's say you're in the middle of your meal. It's 5 minutes to whatever Chatzos is, let's say 1 o'clock. So I could say, just eat your Avikayman, but if I eat the Avikayman, I'm not allowed to continue eating the meal because I can't eat after the Avikayman. So what are my choices? My choices are, don't eat the meal, which will get the Rebbetzin upset, or eat the meal and eat the Avikayman after Chatzos. No good. So what do I do? So Sakti Avnei Nezer, a Gavaldi V'chap, and this chap is based on a certain Yisait. He says, when we say you're not allowed to eat after the Avikayman, how long are you not allowed to eat after the Avikayman? Forever? I mean, you can eat the next day. And so we might be mad after you go to sleep, but he wants to say, you can't eat the Avikayman for the duration of the time that still belongs to the Korban Pesach. Which means, interestingly enough, Yitainas, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you could eat food after Chatzos. In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, if I eat the Avikayman before Chatzos, I can't eat anything until Chatzos. But once it's Chatzos, it's not the Zman of the Korban Pesach anymore. Like Rabbi Akiva, however, once you eat the Avikayman, you can't eat the whole night. So, based on that, you said, that's tricky, that's his Chiddush. You could argue with that point. That's his Chiddush. His Chiddush is that the Isser of Achila after the Avikayman is only for the time that belongs to the Korban Pesach. Let's say Chatzos is, let's say 12 o'clock, just to keep it simple. So, at 11:55, I should take a piece of matzah. Right before the chicken soup, I should take a piece of matzah and say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, I am mechaven to eat this l'shem afi kaimen. But if the halakha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's only matzah. Eat it. Don't eat anything for 5 minutes till 12 o'clock. And after 12 o'clock, you can go weiter with your eating mibanashim. Because like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I was mekayim afi kaimen, but I could eat after 12:05. And like Rabbi Akiva, I wasn't mekayim afi kaimen, so I could eat. Right? So you make a tanai in that first apikaimen. And then at the end of the meal, you eat a second apikaimen. And you say, if the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, I was yaitse the apikaimen before, and this is just a piece of matzah. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, this should be l'shem apikaimen. And then you can't eat the rest of the night. So this is the famous Avni Nezer's Iluyasha Chav, in which the way you can be mekayim, the inyan of apikaimen. But again, it is predicated on the notion of conditionality of the Tanai in a mitzvah. And one can declare, given the fact that matzah and kriyat shema are all mitzvah sheba gufay, in which you don't have bilus over mitzvah sheba gufay, right? In such a situation, are you going to, is it shy to make it Tanai? Now, with Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there'd be no reason to make it Tanai, really. Basically because like this, because one is kosher and one is pasul. So basically your kavanah is whichever one is kosher. I'm yaitzeh, you don't have to make tanai there. Because you're not going to be yaitzeh memela, meaning memela is not going to be, it's not going to be good. All right, so go back to Rashi.
Only problem is you have to eat a lot more matzah. Today everyone has 17 kazesim for each size.
They say though, that the Beis HaLevi was very mitzamtzem in his kazesim, because he was so machmer that he was chayshish. Now, if you think about it, the most illogical thing that could be chametz that you eat is matzah. In other words, matzah is the highest risk of being chametz because it's the only thing that was made with regular flour, or not flour. So the Beis HaLevi also chashash chametz, he was very mitzamtzem in his kazesim.
Is he eating matzah after the first night? Did he eat matzah, or maybe somebody else?
They say the Beis, I don't know what the
first
week's around. But the Beis HaLevi talk only ate the kazesim of the Seder.
And it's burnt also. It's
very burnt. Yeah, it's very burnt. It's black. Question is if it's burnt. It's not right, like Chilas Kelev. I mean, Pasha, you're not yet to
so you wouldn't have Lechem Mishnah and Shabbos?
I don't know what they did.
Meals on Shabbos, that's Siddur Shabbos.
I assume they ate Siddur Shabbos, yeah.
But without matzah, say.
What else is going to give?
Grape
juice.
Hold up a piece of wine is a kaveis.
If the only bread you have is chametz, you're not going to have the commission. How wide did they go? I don't know. It's recorded. The Mishnah only had it to say. I don't know what he did the rest of the day.
The Gaon had to do the mitzvah every day, right?
Gaon said mitzvah every day.
He was also mitzvah. He also has small.
Yeah, but not because of that chesed. The Gaon Shita was. Small kazais. I mean, it wasn't. Right, I mean, the Gra didn't have stam chumas. I mean, the Gra was machriya halacha directly, and we had small kazais. Of course, but they say, you know, in Volozhin, the Beis HaLevi was the co-Rosh Hashiva, the junior Rosh Hashiva, and he said he got forced out, and then Rafaim came later, and that made Shalom again. But the Nitziv used to invite all the Bachrim to his house for the Seder. It was a big thing. A lot of Bachrim didn't go out. And we have Zichreinus, Rav Kook, a beautiful storm of the Nesip, hundreds of people. And then the Baal Batim would come later, you know, it was very, very royal. So the Nesip once said the difference between the Beis HaLevi and him. He looks forward to the Seder the whole year, it's a tremendous Simcha. And he feels Chayrus in his Ben Chayrus, and he says the Beis HaLevi is so Tzibrach, and so worried, so scared, you know, Pesach is like... Like they say, like after Pesach, basically, Baruch Hashem, we got through it without a takala, without an accident. It was like such a. He says, basically, he doesn't enjoy Pesach. He has no chavis of chalal on Pesach. His mom is tremendous shibud of others. So that was a difference in attitude. But okay. Anyway, so let's go back to Rashi. So Rashi says, initially, if the guy wants yibum and the woman doesn't want yibum, our initial point is we encourage him to do chalitza by tricking him. We tell him, assuming he didn't learn this halacha, that give chalitza on the condition that she has to give you, you know, $5,000. He'll do that, right, for the incentive, but we don't have to pay him afterwards. Now, it's interesting. Two different problems here. Even if it's true that the chalitza will be valid even if the tanai is not mekoyim, that's fine. But are you allowed to deceive somebody? What about the issue of kenei mistas? I mean, good. I give chalitza on the condition that she gives me $500, so even if she doesn't give me $500, it's a good chalitza. That's fine. But is she allowed? Is she allowed to make those inducements? What about kenei mistas? So you see, Shari Tshuva says, not about this, but about other things, that in order to make somebody do a mitzvah that they're supposed to do, they are supposed to give chalitza. Chalitza is the preference. He wants even, but chalitza is the preference. You're allowed to be matel somebody to do a mitzvah that is mutel on them, and therefore that is not nichlal kinei mistas. Now, you have to be careful about this, though, because I would think in many cases it would cause chilul Hashem. I mean, imagine, for example, see, Rashi's case is obviously talking about, a frugga, he wants to eat them. But let's take an opposite situation. Let's take a situation where you have a non-religious brother who doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to bother, right? So the way we trick him is, we'll say, you know, if you do it, you'll get a lot of money. So Rashi doesn't specifically address that question. Right? Rashi's addressing the tricking to get him to lead him to chalitza. But what about tricking somebody just to get him to do chalitza? I think there's another tzad here. I mean, you have to make a cheshbon, because even if al pi din the chalitza will be valid, even if he did it with tais, thinking he would get money out of it. But I think for a non-religious person in particular, I think there would be an awful chilul Hashem shebedavar. In other words, if he's told by the rabbis that if he does chalitza, he'll get money, and then we tell him, we don't have to give it to you. It doesn't look very good. So I don't think, I didn't see a psak in this, but I don't think Lamaisa, it would make any sense to do it to us. Maybe like a vegan.
He didn't like rabbis before, so he's not going to like it now. It's anything changed.
Well, I mean, not every, okay. I think it's going to confirm. It's remember if Shlomo Zalman says, Shlomo Zalman had a famous psak about Lifnei Iver. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to give food to somebody if they're not going to make a bracha. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, you're machshil ben b'yaveira, it's lifnei iver l'siti mitzvah. It's a beferish halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So notwithstanding that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that b'zman hazeh, he says, a chiloni comes to your house, he's repairing your air conditioner, so what's going to be? It's 100 degrees. He works for 5 hours, he asks you for a glass of water or whatever. He said, can't give it to you, you don't make a brother. You know, it'd be a tremendous chilul Hashem. So his hatred for religious Jews is going to be a much bigger michshel. If someone's chiddush is, I'm allowed to be machshel somebody be aveira if that will prevent them from bigger aveiras. And the bigger aveira being seinei es hatayra, in which Yilvichlau will never try to connect the Yiddish guy, is a much bigger michshel than drinking without a bracha. That's actually the insight of Rosh Hashanah, who invite people to Shabbos, even if they're going to drive, because if it's a way of getting them to be Shomer Shabbos in the future, they say, you're being
Mazel. Shomer Shabbos says, yeah.
So Vada driver, they don't even have an out. The
Peshul driver, he says? Well, yeah. You have to offer them accommodation.
Right.
And you should invite them for Friday night so they come for Shabbos. But even if you know that you know what they're going to do, he says you don't withdraw
the invitation. He says you can't invite even on Shabbos day, or if you know he's dry, he's no way he's walking.
Invite him on Shabbos day, you don't do it. He's invited him for Friday. Or you invite him for Shabbos, and then they decide
they want to come.
Yeah. Initially, this was famous. This was a letter to Rosh Hashanah, a letter to Rav Mendel. In fact, for a number of years, very interesting, for a number of years, this was a mysterious letter. People talked about, oh, Rosh Hashanah has this secret letter that Jerusalem had here. I mean, so people still talk about it, but the truth is, it's not a secret anymore. It's published in the Mincha Shlom. I mean, it's already there. But for like 10 years, and in fact, initially, when they first published the Mincha Shlom, they left this tshuva out. They didn't want to publish. So it was not a secret letter, but now it's before some already. But that's Rosh Hashanah. But the evidence is okay. The truth. Moshe Sternbach says exactly the same thing. Is not one of the great Mechilim, but he says exactly the same thing. He says he talks about a non-religious person can. I'm sorry. Religious person can invite his parents. It's not even a care organization. He even needs to go maybe further than Rosh Hashanah in order to avoid Chilul Hashem, in order to create a good relationship. But he does say. He says a funny thing. He does say that the parents shouldn't park right in front of the house on Shabbos. That's a Chilul Hashem. They should park.
Apparently,
the non-religious parents who are driving, they should park. Although to me, there's a problematic perspective because it really depends on it. Because if you're telling them they have to park a certain distance, I mean, maybe you're going to more Chilul Hashem. It's interesting. Is that going to shorten the trip or lengthen the trip?
Maybe less.
No, maybe it's less. It's not driving as far.
Yeah, so
it's putting more gas.
But you know, so you have to be beside
the block. Circle the
block. You circle the block. You know, we're gonna park. I don't know where it's gonna work in Harnov. I mean, you're running your Harnov. So park into what?
Probably closed. Though.
Where are you supposed to park in Harnov?
Say, they close the street.
The streets are closed anyway. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, you're gonna have to park. Okay. Yeah, so you must be talking about the areas that were not closed or whatever.
There's a second one of the English Shabbos books. It says, "What do you do if someone stops to ask for directions on Shabbos?"
Yeah.
It says that you should say to the guy, "You know, it's asur for me to tell you what to do because I'm going to be goring you to break Shabbos. But in order to shorten your journey, I'm going to give you correct that you know you have to mention to him apparently that it's Shabbos and you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos." Seems like a little force that you would say such a thing to somebody. Just so you know, it's Shabbos. You're not supposed to drive on Shabbos. But to shorten your chilul Shabbos.
Usually you are. Take it. Maybe the guy will get out of the car and throw it. I'll stop right here. You never know.
I can just see that.
Yeah, kind of a long way to Shabbos.
Most of the people who stop you around here when this blur are usually like foreign tourists.
Right.
Like stricken-looking Japanese people are.
I wondered about that. Is it called being done chavschus to assume that somebody is a goy that's driving on Shabbos? You can assume they're taking their wife to the hospital even though she's hidden in the back seat. But you can assume it's a goy that's done chavschus?
That's one way, or whatever. Even Chinam Shanishma is done chavschus. You can assume it's a Jew, it's a Chinam Shanishma. That's all done chavschus. But they say, by not a gadol was walking and there were a lot of cars. And he kept on muttering under his breath, another guy. So they say the cheshbon was that when you see a yid be mechallel Shabbos, it's pagei on your kedusha Shabbos. So he mentally did not want to think of yid be mechallel Shabbos because it would have been mashpia. So he was telling it's a guy.
That's one of the tirutzim some of these people give that they shout at people, Shabbos, when they see they're driving. I mean, can't they say to themselves, like this guy?
They give the terrorists
that
they can say it to themselves. Any teichecha has to be teichecha that the person will be makabel. So yelling and screaming and throwing rocks.
It's not a card there, right? My son, because you're not really scrolling, you're not directly creating any fire.
Well, I mean, Bashis, you push down on the accelerator.
But through a bunch of systems, you eventually, fuel will then get added to them.
They treat it as a terrorist.
The ignition, the car is a sick ratio.
The initial spark.
Nichelating once, very hard to find
the
heavens.
Of course, nichelating.
It's an electrical fire, though.
Well, yeah, but electrical sparking, that's the word.
Yeah, the spark, that's electric.
If you don't have sparks.
Yeah, but it's electric.
I understand, but that's called a, listen, if you go back far enough to the beginning of electricity, you'll find some shuas to say all electricity is drawn by it. But the Pesukim say that the one core electric star is the right focus is when the sparking or H, the appearance of H. Everything else, when you have current closing circuits, Chazunisha, those are different issues. But the old incandescent light bulb that has a red fire going through it,
So was that there every time person the gas is not there, or at least we down all of that?
I think so. Every push is in the race. Then of course you have brake lights. That's electric lights. And, so we treat it as a derisive. Okay. So what does Rashi say? So Rashi says we initially trick him. And V-Lo, if we can't trick him, Kaifin and Leivachalitz. So it's interesting. Well, why does Rashi give us this two-step program? Why don't you go straight to the Kaifin? Just get me out.
Not violence.
We prefer deception to violence. I'm not sure. All right.
We're Jewish.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what's the raya that you never force a woman to have yibo? Because that's the assumption. If she doesn't want yibo, we will force him to give chalitza. So this is a different Russia. The Umar of Sheshes. Let's say a Yavama falls before a brother who's a Mukesh Shechin, right? Which one he is? Boy, who falls Mukesh Shechin is that? Actually, Mukesh Shechin, they say, actually corresponds to what actually is the disease of leprosy. Right? Uh-huh. The Hansen's disease, leprosy, is not Soras, but Mukesh Shechin is leprosy, and which there's a withering away of the flesh and the limbs. Muscle tissue disintegrates and the like. So if it's a Mukesh Shechin, ain chaisman tanosei. We do not muzzle her complaint. We don't shut her up. V'loy tema. Oh, okay, something, okay. And then the Gemara darshens, because there's a smichas haparshis. Leisachsei pshor b'dishai, ki yeshvu achim yachtav. Now, it's important to see the way Rashi is learning this question. Rashi is learning that the din that you don't shut her up means if she has a taina. And Rashi just says, loy tema, and don't think mukesh shechin dafka, that it's only mukesh shechin, which is so repulsive. Ella, kol amasla asher titein lidvareha. Any amasla, right? The word amasla means an excuse. But Rashi is still saying she doesn't have total vino power. She has to have an amasla, some reason. And he brings a raya from the Gemara Ksuvos. Biborsi shemes. V'loy ach borski. Right, borski is a tanner. Right, so tanning was considered to be one of the repulsive occupations because they would soak animal hide in urine, in Meron Lion. So the smell was very, very bad. So the chiddush is, even if her husband was a Borski. And now the brother is a Borski. So what's her taina? She can't stand the living with a Borski. She did it for 20 years. Yechayla isha taimar. She could still say, Liachicha isha yechayla l'kabah. Your brother I can stand. Because he had other miles. But you know. Okay. Ulecha ain't yechayla l'kabah. But again, it's interesting. In other words, but it's only because he's a Borski. In other words, she can't stop as they say, I don't like you. If there's a repulsive occupation, she can say, I don't like you enough to be able to have to live with this. And Rashi then says, V'yay paskina nyokhasa perakaf al pi ein kaisven igeres merit al shomeres yoma. Like there is a halacha that a shomeres yavam until yibam gets mezainis from the nechassim of her husband, because she's an almana. An almana is entitled to mezainis, right? So in the interim, once the yavam is yavam, the yavam has to give her mezainis from his own property as well, because that's his wife. Unlike the ksuva, which is only minichsei baila, the chi of mezainis is directly on the yavam. But as long as she is a shomeres yavam, she gets mezainis minichsei ameis. But let's say she refuses to have yibam. So the analogy is this. The analogy is that if an arusa refuses to have nesuin, she is called a meredes, and she can be divorced without a ksuva. But if a shemeres yavam refuses to have yibam, she is not a meredes, and she still is entitled to mezainis. Now here though, here I don't understand. Maybe we should look up the Gemara in Ketubos. Because here it doesn't say only if she has an amasla. See, unlike the case of Mukesh Chin, where she had an excuse, this seems to say generally, she just says, I don't want Yibam. So there seems to be a question here, does she have the absolute right to say, I don't want Yibam? But Rashi concludes, Mikol hani taimei, kaifinan lei, v'cholis, v'shapla kesuv. And she will get a ksuva. What ksuva does she get? Of course, she gets a ksuva, mi nichsei baila harishen. V'chol hani ein kaifin dehacha. And when we say we're not kaifei chalitza, and we allow Yibam, Rashi says, Hainu, denicha lehu letorvayu, only if they both want Yibam. Okay, so this is an important Rashi, that we don't force chalitza if they both want Yibam, but if the woman does not want Yibam, we will either trick him into chalitza or we will force him into chalitza. But the point I want to show a little bit here is that Rashi is not 100, it's not 1,000% clear, it's relatively clear, but not completely, whether she has an unconditional right to say no, or is it only if she has what we consider to be a good reason, an amasla. The raya from Mukesh Chin and Rashi's Anthroborsky implies she has to have some reasonable basis. She can't just say, I don't like the guy.
But Keaton, you have all kinds of crazy reasons she went to soup. Should we know this kind of bloody silly sort of...
That's him.
Right, she says, I know from the past, this guy, he always... whatever, some silly things.
It's interesting by get. In fact, this is a proposal people are bringing up, by an aguna. The Rambam says, if a woman says, Moisolai, I can't stand this guy, her husband, not the other husband, the Rambam says, based in will force the guy to give a get, and that's Kaifin Azadjim or Raisadi, and the guy could be beaten. Get putting aside legally what we could do, but there are some guys under the FBI investigation right now for beating somebody up. But according to the Rambam, a woman is entitled to a kafiyah, a get, with a kind of Moisolai. And that would be a huge, particularly there. Again, in Chutzlars, that would be of limited validity because even if a basin orders kfiya, there's not a lot you can do in Chutzlars other than hire goons.
But are we trying to make all Gittin say, I missed that.
In Eretz Yisrael, you see, in Eretz Yisrael, once a basin orders a man to give a get, the legal system does impose a lot of punishments. The man could go to jail. The man can lose his passport, his driver's license, all sorts of things. So the problem in Eretz Yisrael of Aguna is that it's very rare that a woman gets such an order.
COVID,
it's only like 5%. So like the Rambam, a woman would get a kaifin order in 100% of the cases. So in Eretz Yisrael, this would virtually solve the Aguna problem. And the only problem is Rabbeinu Tam is chaylik on the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam says, a taina of Moes Alai does not give a woman a get. Because why? Chayshina Shema Einaha Nasna Biacher. And although it's very, very rare for the Shulchan Aruch not to paskin like the Rambam, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that Moes Alai does not enable a woman to get a get. But there's a Chumas Harash. It's very similar. The Chumas Harash says, if she gives an amasla l'tvara, then even like Rebbeinu Tam, Basin will be kaifen, and an amasla would be a claim of abuse, whatever. Physical abuse for sure. Emotional abuse is tricky. Theoretically, extreme emotional abuse, but that's always, it's hard to be marked there. And to some degree, that's a function of the cultural perceptions of the dayanim. Certain cultures, screaming at your wife all the time is not so bad. Whatever it would be. So over there, amasla, you see in that halacha, that the term amasla is different than moisalai. Because moisalai, she doesn't get a get, and amasla, yeah. So it would seem, so if Rashi uses the word amasla, again, I don't know if Rashi's using it the same way. Amasla doesn't just mean she says, Masla, I can't stand the guy. Because you see, if I guess, there has to be some objective reason.
Rashi seems to define it by saying the vayim nikarim. That means
we have to see a reason. We have to see.
But again, that can mean that, or she just can't say mosalai, but she has to say mosalai because he, I don't know, doesn't cut his toenails. She has to say something, even if we don't think that's reason for a divorce. It just has to be that she has a reason.
So it doesn't have to be that we think it's a good reason.
I'm just saying, doesn't mean clear to us or reasonable to us. It just means it's clear, right? Nikar.
So that's actually that's
just saying a mosalai.
Right.
So that's really the question. The question is. Are we sitting in judgment as to what is a good reason, or we simply have to know that she has a reason as opposed to just a now nasna biyachar?
Well, if it says
the klurim, then it means it's something that we recognize.
Why?
Well, because otherwise, don't say.
Well, no, recognize
say the thing.
Just say she gives a reason.
Fact. It doesn't mean recognize it as a reason. In
other words,
might just mean we recognize it as a fact.
Well, why say it at all?
Because we have to know she's not making it up. We have to know that. No, she says he has a big nose, so we see he has a big nose. No, that's not a good reason.
You think the Rashi would say the word the courage just to tell me that it's an objective fact?
Otherwise, there's a possibility of fabrication, right? In other words.
But that's a different thing. You wouldn't say Nikarim because of that. You would say...
Certainly, the case of Borsky and Mukeshkin are objective.
Well, the Rosh's Svarah seems to be that you know, even it was the Rosh, right, who said that even according to Rambam and Amasi, it seems to be that we have to... Because why are we cautious there that she's Shemayne and Asnavi V'Acher? Because there she's giving you something which is could be plausibly a reason. It's not just she's saying... Could she have come up with this idea as an excuse? Yeah, but that we're not cautious for, obviously. So Rashi could be the same thing.
Yeah.
Just means that one step further. She's just basing it. It's not just I just want out.
In other words, you would apply, in other words, I think both of you are saying the same thing in terms of structure. In other words, essentially we would apply the same test for get that we would apply. In other words, whatever an amasla would be to give a woman a get, that would be the amasla to give the woman chalitza. We're taking the same model. Right. Because it's really very much the same. One wants to get out of the marriage, and one wants to get out of the even. But what's interesting here is, so it is interesting, what does this mean, the bottom line? The bottom line is, what? A woman can be forced to have even? I mean, that's the question. See, there are two different chidushim that emerge from Rashi's understanding of the sugya. Chidush number one is, if they both want to have even, they can have even. That's chidush number one. Okay, but that's fine. Chiddush number two is, if she doesn't want Yibam, but she doesn't have what qualifies as Devarim Nikarim or a Masla, so what's going to happen? We're going to force her?
Rape.
Force her. We're going to have rape? So it could be not. It could be.
Well, if you rape her anyway, we call it boss.
No, you're right. He's the tiger. I think what happens is this. I mean, we don't talk much anyway, so you're not going to see this halacha. But I think what happens is like this. We are not contemplating that she's going to be raped. But it simply means she's mopsed her kasuba as a meredith. That's not true. That in the absence of a masla,
she would be higher.
She has the status of a meredith, and mimela he would be highlights to her, and she would lose her kasuba. I think that would be.
We would make him do chalitza.
Yes. I think the bottom line would be that even by a meredith, even by a married woman, be by your own wife, it is usher to rape her. You can't have tashmish without her respect. Right. But what? But if she refuses to have tashmish, she's a meredith.
Loses her kesuva.
So I think what we'll check. I mean, we don't pass like that, but the that's the nekuda. So the two chidushim of Rashi is, if they both want yibam, we do yibam. And Svetin's, by implication at least, if she doesn't have an amasla, so we'll learn this way, she would have a din of a meredith who refuses to have yibam. And the Mela, she would be mafsid.
Agav, is there a distinction between rape of a stam pnuya and rape of one's own wife? In halacha, there's a difference?
Yeah, it seems to be halacha, there's a difference. I mean, marital rape is osur, but it seems to be a getter of an isur midarchi hamusur. It's not, you're not over a labyrinth.
You don't have to pay your extra.
Yeah, you don't pay.
You can pay to yourself.
Yeah, right. But it's a very big chet. It's a very big chet.
It's a svara. There's a.
Yeah, Chazal don't have a pasuk for it. They say this is a svara. You don't do it. Of course, doesn't do this.
It's in the Gemara, though.
It's in the Gemara. Morning Tzarim. Yeah. And also, if you look in, there's a simon in Arachaim, Rei Shemem, the Yilchus of Kedusha. In fact, it's interesting. You know the six-volume thing under Mishnah Berurah was called Piskei Tshuva?
Yeah.
Very, very good set. So you'll notice, if you look at Chelek Sheni, when it comes to Rei Shemem, he says he's offering it in a separate pamphlet only to married people. He doesn't even write a little pamphlet. And the Swarms, they don't check you, but he publishes it as a separate pamphlet. Okay. Alright, so we'll close her, that would be the chesed. This is Shitas Rashi, right? So these are the two chidushim that emerge from Shitas Rashi. And this brother said, if they both want to do Yiva, and if she has an Amasla, we're not Kaifel the Yiva, we're Kaifel the Chalitza. But the Yidach Kisa, if she has no Amasla, so we'll learn she would be a Meredith, and we'll still be Kaifel the Chalitza, but she would be a Meredith without an Amasla. So the din that Ein Kaisven Igeres Merit, Al Shemeres Yavam, is only if he has an Amasla. That the din of Ein Kaifed is not going on the Seifa Bismanazah. Bismanazah, we're always Kaifed the Chalitza, even if they both want Yiba. Even if they both want Yiba, we are either Mate or Kaifed the Chalitza. Yeah. But it's talking about the Mishnah Rishayna. The Mishnah Rishayna says, Mitzvah Seimim Kaidemes. But if a man wants to do Chalitza, we're not Kaifed. Which is the chara, and we ask the question, number one, if all you're telling me is you don't force a man to do yibum if he doesn't want, that's what the Torah says. The Torah says if a man doesn't want, he does chalitza. What's the chiddush? You don't force a man to do yibum. So I thought the story might be that maybe you don't force only if there are other brothers who would be willing to do yibum or might be willing. But if you're only one yavam, maybe we would force. Kamash Malan, we do not force. But what's Rabbeinu Tam Zikr Chiddush? Rabbeinu Tam Zikr Chiddush is that Bizman HaZeh, we do not allow Yibum at all. And indeed, this is Machlekes, it's between the Bechaber and the Ramah. If we go with Shitas Rashi, or we go with Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramah says we go with Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Now, what's a little mundane though is this. This is very important. Because Rabbeinu Tam himself had Akasha, because the Gemara says, right during the time of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's Namayda, if a couple would come before them, he would say, O Chalait, O Yabeh, meaning Chalitza is the best thing, go ahead and do Yiva. What's the pshat? According to Rabbeinu Tam, we don't allow Yiva. Rabbeinu Tam seemed to say, Rav Yehuda, Namayda, Rav's Talmud, Rav Yehuda.
So is it. Okay. Yeah.
So clearly that was after the Mishnah that said, Mrs. Chalitza Kedemet. Rabbeinu Tam said in the Bad Nazar, Rabbeinu Tam says that it turns out that we start to know how it's even chalik with Rashi, therefore. That if it's Yadua that they're Mechavim L'Shem Shemayim, we let them. So even like Rabbeinu Tam, even though we're not knowing that way at all, even like Rabbeinu Tam, there's a mashmash that you allow Yibum if it's Yadua. I don't know what you mean, you do. I don't know. I mean, who can...
This is so because of Kavon. That's the total list of it. It's
basically based on Kavon. See, so let's just read a few lines. Say this. So these are the two shitas in Ein Kaifa. Now, Ki Asu L'Kamei D'Rav, Omar Lei, I Nichalach Yabein, V'I Loi Chalaitz. So like Rashi, you learn this according to Rashi, I will learn this according to Rabbi Natan. Rav would tell them, Inichalach, if you want, go ahead and do Yibum. V'ilai Chalat. So, according to Rashi, how will we learn this? Even according to Rashi, Chalitza has priority over Yibum. It's only if they both want, we let them do Yibum. But would we? Why would we be miyayitz them to do? Why would we even bring it up? I mean, it would seem according to Rashi, the most logical thing is they come in front of Beis Din, we tell them, do Chalitza. If they then say, we want to do Yibum, say, oh, go ahead. But we suggest it as an option, according to Rashi. Why would we suggest it as an option?
So the Gersh and Gemara is a little better, because the Gemara has the other way around. Ibayis Chalitz, Ibayis Yom. It's still problematic, but it's better.
Yeah. It's still problematic, but certainly that Gersh is much, much better. We mentioned Chalitza first. But like Rebbeinu Tam, it's even more schwer. So Rebbeinu Tam learns that this would be limited to a couple that the Beis Din knows are Yerei Shemayim. But why would the Gemara quote Rav's, that's very, very daichet. The Gemara is quoting like Rav's standard operating procedure. So you're telling me this is what Rav only said, so tell us what Rav said in most cases. Why are you telling me what Rav said in every thousand cases? Okay, I'm a Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said like Rav ain kaifen. Remember what Rav meant by ain kaifen? And the Gemara brings a Rav Yehuda. Iskin Rav Yehuda b'kita dechalitza. Rav Yehuda formulated a nusach in the shtar of chalitza. Again, it's not a get in the sense. I mean, chalitza is what matters the zika, but afterwards the Beis Din would write a document that she would have called the Gita de Chalitza. We do this today also. That she has proof that she had chalitza. So what is the nusach of the shtar chalitza? So here we have an Aramaic nusach. Eich Plainis Bas Plaini, right, this woman, Karivas Plaini Yavama Kadmana, her brother-in-law came before us, V'yishta Modanuhi, and we were informed, Tahadein Plaini, that this guy who came before us, Achuhe Demisna Minavuahu, is the brother of the mace from the father. The Rif will discuss later how do we prove identity, but that is very, very crucial. Meaning, one of the very important things that we need to know when a man shows up is that he, in fact, is the brother of this woman's husband from the father. Otherwise, the chalitza would be puzzled. Even if he's a shaliach, it would be puzzled. In Kal Vachomer, if he's an unauthorized person. The Amar Nole, and we said to him, Eid Savis Liabume, it's going to be very strict. If you want to have Yiba, Yabem, do Yiba. V'yi lo, and if you don't, Atlo lo raglach v'yamana, mina, stick out your right foot. V'yakla, in other words, because she takes off the shoe. And this is what we told him, and what did he do? V'yakla lo raglach v'yamana, mina, he stuck out his right foot. V'sharas, Sine Meal Raglohe, and she released his shoe from his foot. Right, they're describing what she did. Ferakas Bianpaye, and she spit. Anpaye is in front of us or in front of him? In front of him. Ruka Dieskaze Mona. And that's the halacha. The Sanhedrin, the basement has to see the right. That's why they actually put a black cloth on the floor. So her right will be nikar li'einayim. So she doesn't spit in his face. V'yakar b'fana means she spits in front of him, not in his face. Yizchazi lan b'kuma al arab b'beidina. Yeah, so that's nusach. So it's a very detailed nusach. It's interesting why we have such a thing. I mean, you know, we don't... Well, in a get we don't describe it, but that's actually not Sanhedrin, because a get is written beforehand, right? You can't describe the Nesinas I get in the get because it wasn't given yet.
Right.
But this is an after-the-fact document, so this actually describes all of the details of the process, and indeed, things were added. Rav Acha Berei de Rav Avia Messiah Ba Mishmei de Rav Yehuda V'yakri Nuha. We read to her my dichsib the Sefer Araisa de Maisha, right? So Sefer Araisa de Maisha Me'ein Yivami Lakim Liachiv Shem Yisrael V'yakri Nuha. In other words, the basic idea is that she has to say certain psukim. She has to say, Me'ein Yivami, my brother-in-law has refused to be making shame. Now, since some people didn't know how to read, in order not to be Mavayesh, the minhag was, we're makra to her. Now, that doesn't mean we don't read for her, because that can't be b'shlichus, but we say the words, and she repeats after us. So, we read these words to her, Me'ein Yivami, Lakim Liachiv Shem Yisrael, V'yakra Nuhu, and we read to him that he had to say, Lo Chafatzti Lekachta. In other words, they have to read these psukim, they have to read this script. Now, actually, technically, they may not have to say those exact words, but they just have to say the meaning of it, but our meaning is we say those exact words. And the Gemara Taka says, finally, Mar Zutra Mesarte Pekasa Vahani Kroi. That in when Mar Zutra would write a Gita de Chalitza, so when he would write those psukim that we read to her and we read to him, he would underline, because the halacha is that any three ICIs from psukim that are written have to have the sirtut. The sirtut is the Sefer Torah, or Mezuzah, it is the lines. They're not written lines, they're scratch lines. That create the evenness of the ksav. So although the sirtut there is with a scratch, but for this purpose, any type of sirtut, underlining is good as well. And there's actually a halacha that if you ever see any haskama from Shneur Kutner, essentially my only few people who's already read this, anytime he would write a haskama for a sefer and have a pasuk, he always underlined. He underlined, you'll see. Now, most people not.
He actually did it or just
No, I'll give him underline, yeah, because that sirtut was good enough for underlining. Most paiskim say that Meikar HaDin, this halacha is only true if it's ksav ashuris. If you write in the ksav of the Sefer Torah, you have to have the sirtut. It's not Eves. If it's not ksav ashuris, if it's called ksav mashita, whatever, it's a regular writing, then you don't have to worry about it. The Gemara doesn't say, here, this is not the sugya. But he was machmir. You see, there's every pasuk, every three words of a pasuk, always have sirtut and the like. Yeah, but still, this is a very, very difficult thing. It's difficult to understand what Rav is talking about, and it's difficult to understand what Rav Yehuda is talking about. I mean, you read both Rav and you read Rav Yehuda, and they're giving the couple an option. And Rav Yehuda says as well. Rav Yehuda says it. Even if you're Gavris in Rav, O Chalotz O Yameh, which is better, but at least that's better.
Yeah.
But in the Nusach of the Shtar Chalitza, it's not that way, right? And in the Nusach of the Shtar Chalitza, what does it say? Eats obviously Yabume Yameh. I don't think that's not changed anymore. So that's a very, very much Nazach. Now it could be like this. Maybe you have to be, I have to look at the Shayim here, because the word is very obscure. But it could be that there's a lot of off-the-record conversation that you have to have. I mean, meaning like this. You have to preserve the form of the Torah. Yes. The form of the Torah is, you want to do Yibum, then do Chalitza. You have to pervert, you can't just tell people, forget about Yibum. It could be that all of the talk that we tell them not to do Yibum is like off-the-record talk. But you have to preserve the techas, as it were, the structure of the Torah. I don't
makes
know.
Sense. That makes sense.
But according to that, it's Ikar Chasur Min HaSefer, because the main thing that you tell them is not even recorded here. And the like. Okay, we'll have to check it. Okay, we'll stop. Tomorrow we have share at 10. I'll try to be here at the 10 because I have to leave earlier. And Wednesday we'll be here.
By the way, I've read that jail for residents.